The title of today's talk is Neutral Allows Options. When the car goes into gear into neutral, you're between options of what gear to move either forward or backward with. And that is really kind of a good imagery to hold with where you are when you go through a now. If you're neutral, you're not anticipating one way or the other. And in that way, you're available. You're available to the subtler frequencies of consciousness. So if you're not pre-thinking something or pre-judging something, or pre-wanting something, or preoccupied, which is what we are 99% of the time, is preoccupied. And therefore, the subtle frequencies of the spirit aren't, let's say, related to in the same way as having to be moved through our resistance. And that seems, if you look at it, like, well, that's a good idea. You know, it might be a good idea that if you have a more profound, subtle level of consciousness that you are really out of touch with, but is there. It's like having another channel on your radio or your TV, and it's a far superior information bearing channel, but you're playing around on a kind of weird other frequency that doesn't let you behave with the information that's on the other channel. And if you put it in that phrase, you would think, well, that's stupid. I mean, really, that's a stupid choice. If there's a more profound, more knowledgeable station, and there's one that's carrying a lot of garbage, and you keep going to garbage, you would think, well, now that's not very bright. Yeah, that's true. And going to the one channel that is much more profound in its, let's say, ability to know what's really, really going on behind your confused, hypnotized, psychologically conditioned other frequency, then we have a problem, because there is consequence. I mean, there's just consequence. There's a consequence to what we're doing now and our choices and behavior. And there's a, you know, a reaction to what we do and think and be. There's a reaction to it. In duality, there's always a reaction. Neutral is open, not pre-programmed reactional, not judgmental. This morning on Sunday morning program, there was a segment that demonstrates something that I think is epidemic in the world right now. And it's prejudgment, misjudgment, and misuse of energy. There was a segment that was talking about a woman who had a son, and the child was autistic, and he was about 10 years old, and he had just gotten a new pair of glasses, which he had chosen very carefully because it was his very favorite color, rainbow. Rainbow colors for his glasses. And he was so proud of them, thought they were wonderful, until he met the other kids, who called him a fag and this and that and the other thing and told him he should commit suicide. Now, that's not a really friendly thing to say, but especially not a friendly thing to say to a child that has learning opportunities. And the mother really didn't understand what was going on one fine day when the boy started acting behaviorally strange. And she said to him, what are you doing? What's going on? And he says, oh, I'm going to go commit suicide. Well, mother immediately took him to a children's hospital that had the ability to give the child care and to help deprogram him from the reaction he was having to those kids being mean. And it was a fair amount of kids that came at one time and did that. Well, the mother thought that the child was progressing, but she knew he really needed, when he got out of the hospital, would need support. And it would be really uplifting to him if there was some show of real support, numbers of people. And so she put out a request that people who cared might show up with their cars in the parking lot and to be supportive towards him when he was getting out of the hospital and making him think he was special and wonderful and that things were right with the world. Well, there was a restaurant owner who saw the request And he immediately got in touch with all of a group of people that he had other, let's say, activities with, which were car sports enthusiasts. And he put out the request that those who could and cared would show up at the hospital and show support for the child. I think there was something like 1,700 or something showed up with all their sports cars and special cars. And they, a whole bunch of them had been able to get hold of rainbow-colored glasses, frames, and were wearing them, and surrounded him with love and care and attention. Well, that made a huge difference in the child's life. The question we need to ask ourselves is, might as powerful as open? I've seen in several different times when there's been outbreaks of violence in different countries. And then, after the hate and the violence and the injury and the partisanship and all that sort of thing, there was restoration. Reclamation and getting people to accept each other. And when people deliberately get together for reconciliation, magic happens. People who were dead set enemies suddenly become loving, cooperative people. Now, might has a way of perceiving itself as right, that it has the right to be aggressive. It has the right to be over other people or over situations. But if they were on the other side, would the person that's being run over really think that that's harmonious? Harmony is actually stronger than might. More things can be done through harmony for more people than through might. Might has a way of destroying on the way to acquisition of more power. Harmony doesn't try to destroy anything on the way to making improvement. So which is stronger? Which is stronger? And it's so amazing that people who, before they had might, would have agreed But once they have might, they want to exercise it. Which means they have no self-control. Harmony seeks control over excess in any imbalanced way. Harmony is balance. Might is out of balance already. Harmony is imbalance. Wants balance, looks for balance, works for balance. Might works for more power. So, which is actually the more powerful? So, over the long haul, if we're out of balance, if we've got prejudice, if we've got tension, is that harmony? Is tension harmony? Okay, you see, tension has power. Why do you get tense? Because you have chemistry from evolution that is, you know, fight and flight. But why would you have to fight and fly if somebody wasn't out of balance? I mean, if you're getting attacked, you're having to be defensive. But are you the attacker? Are you the problem? Well, your adrenaline is the problem. It's the one that's out of balance. The sympathetic nervous system is out of balance with the parasympathetic nervous system. So it's, quote, quote, the out of balance part of your consciousness. Your biology is out of balance with your spirit, period. And it's the work on the path to bring your biology into neutral so that you have the availability of the stations of spirit. Here we are. You see, we don't see it in those terms, but it's exactly those terms. Your out of balance chemistry in tension and reactionalism, which has accrued over eons of time in the biology of animals, the sympathetic nervous system to be on guard, to protect duality, the body to protect the duality of the body going on existing. It's not eternal. The body is not eternal, but there is an eternal other in that body, which is wiser, seeks harmony and balance. And the ego wants to exert might. It wants to prevail over letting go of adrenaline and the tension of, I can do anything faster. I'm in charge. It's me. Me, the ego, is in charge. Oh, yay. What are you in charge of? Error. Out of balance. Well, you're in charge of out of balance. So here we are. Crazy, isn't it? But you don't think of it in those terms. But those are the exact terms. As long as your adrenaline is ruling the roost and you can't bring yourself to inner quiet and stillness and joy and open-heartedness as the preemptive condition of your state of being, then is might right? Mm-mm. Is ego right? Mm-mm. Is adrenaline right? Mm-mm. Not unless you're running from tigers and lions and bears. You see? I mean, if you really look at it, it's obvious. When somebody brings your attention to you, it's obvious for about 10 seconds. And then what happens is the addiction to adrenaline just pokes its head up. It's like I keep saying, if you sit and you meditate for 2 hours, and then you look at your watch and say, oh, I'm going to be late for work. And you jump up and start racing around. What did you just do for those 2 hours? What did you do with those 2 hours? You just corrupted them. You just corrupted them. You threw them away. Because you put out such a load of adrenaline that all the rebuilding of your cellular structure while you were calm gets corrupted. That's why transmutation takes so long, is you can't shut down the adrenaline. You can't shut down the primitive. You can't shut down the biologically run ego. It just keeps rearing its ugly head. And you can know better. I'm sure that a few people who have a lot of billions of dollars were taught differently when they were kids, maybe, or heard it. But here we are, generation after generation being run over by might. And it's very contagious. If you smell adrenaline, what do you think happens to your neuro-networking? And don't think you don't smell adrenaline. And don't think other people don't smell adrenaline. You see, the idea that relaxation and centering and openness, neutralness in the face of, let's say, out of balance, the rest of the world. So, yeah, it's hard work. But now think, the young boy who was injured by a group of children who had been conditioned by other adults and other children, not knowing how powerfully mean and awful they were behaving, and wanted to, because they were exercising their sense of power over a child that was defenseless. Oh, hero, hero. Hero, hero, right? They didn't have to pull a gun and kill the kid. They told him to go commit suicide. What a hero. So, when there was a show of support for the child that had been injured, it went viral all over the country. It's showing on Sunday morning. It is a statement to not only the kids, but their parents and everybody else who was thinking of doing some similar unkind, hurtful show of power. So, what was more powerful, the meanness or the kindness? That which was trying to establish harmony and balance. I think in this instance, you could say that the show of harmony and balance was more powerful. And it has happened over and over again. When people want to get in harmony, it's extremely powerful. And groups of people, like, say, Arabs and Jews, have formed groups of people of understanding, and they meet and they get to know each other and they say, oh, just like us. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. And people that were absolutely injured, when they decide to forgive and to get in harmony with their offender, it's like 180 degrees turnaround. People that have been maimed and raped and injured, the injurers are faced, and they sit down together with people in support, and miracles happen. Those who've been injured adopt those who injured them. Well, that which seems weak is extremely powerful. And I love this poem by Hafiz. A mime stands upon a gallows for a crime he did not do. When given a last chance to speak, he remains true to his art. A crowd of hundreds has gathered. Notice, hundreds have gathered. I wonder how the accusers feel when they see hundreds gathered for the innocent. A crowd of hundreds has gathered to see his last performance, knowing he will not talk or accuse. The mime takes the sky, the circles of bright spheres, lays them on a table, expressing deep love for the companionship and guidance they have given him for so many years. He brings the seas before our eyes. Somehow, a golden fin appears, splashes. Look, dear ones, there is a tortoise in the rain. He removes his heart from his body and seems to arouse all life on this splendid earth with such a sacred tenderness. There, for an extraordinary moment, it looked like someone was giving birth to the Christ again. He mounts his soul upon the body of freedom. The great breeze comes by. The sun and moon join hands. They bow so gratefully. I am lonely. I am so lonely, dear beloved, for the quintessence of loneliness. For what is more alone than God? And in the end, the tongue fell out of the earth for several days. I misread, my copy copied the wrong page. So anyway, the end was that the tongue fell out of the earth for many days. The power of non-resistance. The power of non-resistance. The power of neutral. You know, I'm going to give a really strange example of the power of neutral. Oftentimes, you read about a horrific accident, and involved in the horrific accident was someone who was drunk. And they walk away without an injury. They were so drunk, their body didn't resist the accident. And it saved their lives. Translate that, please, you see. Going through life thinking you're saving yourself by being tense, by feeling in jeopardy, by living in jeopardy. Why? I mean, it's a disease, really. That tension is more dangerous than being drunk. You know, I mean, in the sense of what it does to relax the body. Now, if relaxation is so important, why do we value hurry and worry? Fast. You watch these pictures of people in factories with conveyor belts of having to pick through things and isolate bad from good and etc. And the conveyor belt is going along so fast they can't keep up with it. And they're being paid to be so fast that they can make mistakes. So fast that they can make mistakes. When I used to fly, I noticed that the cabin attendants who were racing the fastest and were anxious about getting everything done faster, were the ones that were dropping everything. They were missing the counter when they went into the, you know, back into the galley, and things would fall on the floor, and then they'd have to clean it up, and then they'd forget who they were serving, and da 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 da. It's a rat race. 400 people for sit-down dinner and drinks. 4 times in a flight is a little bit harrying. But when you see that that speed was actually creating, let's say, error. So let's cut down the number of cabin attendants we have for the number of passengers we have, because it will be so much cheaper. And how many passengers change airlines because the service is crappy? You see? Very strange. Very strange. If you could actually sit in every profession and see what tension and hurry or worry does for loss rather than for gain. They've shown over and over and over again the people that work fewer hours than 40 hours a week are more productive. And the people who work at home end up being more productive. And yet, this magnificent, masterful might is right emphasis is to get everybody back to the offices that no longer exist, to parking places that don't exist anymore, to desks that don't exist anymore. or get fired. Oh my, such is might. And it gets applause from people who seek power. I wonder why. So, if you have a love soul, one that has infinitely more grace and potential than your ego, mind, body, brain, should you or should you not make way? Should you or should you not change the dial on your screen? Should you or should you not make it a priority of every minute you can out of every day? Well, it's worth more than just a thought. I think it's worth some choosing.